Welcome back to Logical, where we untangle the legal knots so you don't have to. I'm Ludmila Malova, a U.S. qualified lawyer based in Dubai. In each episode, we break down complex law into clear, practical insights that you actually can use. On today's episode, we'll be talking about possession of cannabis in the UAE, a shifting legal landscape in the country. Cannabis, also known as marijuana, has become widely accepted and even legalized in many parts of the world. But the UAE has long taken a zero-tolerance stance toward any type of drugs, including cannabis. Until recently, even small amounts could land you in jail, followed by automatic deportation. But, and this is significant, the UAE's legal framework on cannabis has changed over the few years. And those changes are worthy to be unpacked, especially for tourists and first-time offenders. But before we unpack current legal framework on cannabis and similar derivatives, let me share one story from one of the cases we handled in our law firm before the legal framework started to change. Okay, so let's rewind the clock back to 2020. This is the peak of COVID, and we had a client who was a long-term resident in the UAE and had been living in one of the Emirates, not in Dubai, but a neighboring Emirate, and who had been receiving packages from his home country in Canada. I mean, these are a little bit the countries and the names and a few circumstances are changed in the interest of privacy. But this is a real case scenario. So where the person had been receiving packages from home in North America and Canada in particular. And the packages would include, among other things, vapes. And I'm sure that does not need an explanation of what a vape can be and how potentially it may be somewhat questionable. Anyway, in this case, the vape included some substance. Although vaping in of itself and vapes or the devices are not illegal in the UAE, these particular packages that included vapes included or contained substances that were at the time in particular were illegal. And I'm no chemist and not a specialist in these kinds of substances, but it had some sort of a CBD oil. Anyway, so the person was receiving these packages over the course of actually a few months previously. And so at some point, when he went to pick up the package, he was stopped at the customs or by customs officers and was asked to open up the package and go through the contents. And sure enough, there were a number of vapes that included or contained in them CBD oil, which obviously was discovered upon testing the substance inside the vapes, but also at the same time, because of the circumstances, the person was also asked to take a test or a medical test, and urine test in particular, at the same time when he was picking up this package. So as a result, fast forward, the results came out from the vape and from the person's bloodstream, and so the person had some substance in his blood, and the vapes did, in fact, end up including CBD oil type or THC. So fast forward, obviously that at the time, this is before any kind of fundamental legal reform, in particular in the context of substances, narcotics, and other substances took place in the UAE. So the person was taken into custody, and the case was ultimately transferred to court. And so in the UAE, there's three stages of the court proceedings. There's a court of first instance, court of appeals, and court of cassation. So the court of appeals litigated the case and ultimately established that because vapes did include CBD oil and were some similar substance, but it was basically a cannabis derivative or a THC derivative. So because although the vape in itself was not an issue, but the oil that it included was illegal. So that was obviously a crime. Furthermore, because the vapes were being brought into the country by by International Post. So there's also a charge of importing drugs, because think about it, it's not just you coming into the country with a vape in your pocket, you're actually receiving a package of several vapes, although it wasn't, you know, commercial amount of vapes. It was just two or three vapes inside clearly a personal package. So it was clearly for personal use. So that being it as it may, and there was an additional charge in addition to obviously the illegal substance itself, but the trading of illegal substances and the international import of drugs, so which gave a further and a much more serious charge. And then you know, to add to all of that, the test that came out from the person's bloodstream also indicated there was basically cannabis is in his blood, or cannabis or THC. You know, correct me, whoever it is that is better versed in these kinds of terms in terms of what it is that ends up being in the blood. But obviously, there was illegal substances in the person's bloodstream as well. So all of that combined, obviously, there is on the basis of that, the court ruled that the person was in fact guilty of consuming illegal substances and also importing illegal substance. And although it was done for personal use and although it was for a fairly small amount, there was a guilty verdict won. The one thing that helped at the time, and this was in a way, it was beginning of the onset of the legal changes and in just the UAE's kind of legislative evolution, but the laws themselves had not really been changed. Perhaps some of the procedural aspects of the enforcement of the law had been changed, or were forced to be changed because of the circumstances, and in particular because this was the peak of COVID. So the authorities were not jailing people in the same way that they would have ordinarily jailed. So this person, although as part of the verdict, there was also jail sentence included. But because it was the peak of COVID and the authorities in general were trying to not place people into a sort of confined spaces, I guess fortuitously he was spared at least a jail sentence. There was some temporary detention here and there, but ultimately there was a guilty verdict. And there was among everything else, I mean, there was a fine, 10,000 dirham fine that had to be paid, which is about $3,000. And there was some jail sentence that was kind of that part of which was deemed to have been served by virtue of these sort of temporary detentions here and there. And part of it was waived because of the peak of COVID. And ultimately, there was also a charge of deportation. Or an order of deportation. Now, deportation in the UAE is pretty serious. I mean, that basically means that you're not just being deported from the country, but you're being deported and denied re-entry for good. And generally speaking, deportations historically have more or less been permanent. So in this particular person's case, because he had been in the country for quite a bit of time, so he was a long-term resident, and he was a fairly prominent scientist, and he had a stable job. So there were many different other factors that played into this person's favor in terms of wanting or justifying for him to continue to stay in the country. And so the case was appealed, and we, with the help of our local partner, we appealed the case. It went to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals reaffirmed the guilty verdict from the Court of First Instance, and then ultimately was again reaffirmed by the Court of Cassation. But all throughout, while one point in particular that we were continuing to appeal is the charge of deportation, or the order of deportation, because it's one thing to pay the 10,000 dirham, it's another thing to also serve some time in detention here and there, and it's a completely different ballgame when you're actually being deported from the country, especially for long-term residents who have a long-standing and otherwise fruitful employment or professional engagement in the country. So we went to the Court of First Instance, Court of Appeals, Court of Cassation. The verdict had been reaffirmed multiple times, and even at the end, of the Court of Cassation once again issued reconfirmed the judgment for deportation. And there's another process in the UAE that can sometimes be used, and that is to challenge file a grievance on a particular issue. And so we filed a grievance, particularly on the issue of deportation, and request to have the deportation be lifted. But at the time, long story short, that was unsuccessful, and the person ultimately had to be deported. And we even had various letters submitted to the court from the employer of the country or of the client that further endorsed the client's qualifications and ultimately his relevance kind of to the UAE economy. Ultimately the courts were unforgiving, and it was because the law ultimately did not really allow them to be more forgiving than that. And that's because, I mean, in a way, the client already lacked out because they didn't have to spend time in jail as the case would have been before. In the past, the law was so unforgiving that any kind of amount of illegal substances for any use in any form would have landed the person in jail for at least a year. But depending again on the type of substance and depending on the amount and the other circumstances, it could be anything from 1 year to 5 years to plus. But minimum, there was 1 to 2 years that, in addition to everything else, and the fine would have been the smallest problem, but it would have been the jail sentence, and then ultimately each one of these charges would have led to deportation in every other case. So in this case, the client already lacked out in the sense that they did not have to spend that time in jail, but they were deported. And that was ultimately the reason that I guess the jail was kind of softened. There was a softer penalty in terms of the duration of the jail because of COVID. So that kind of those circumstances helped. But from a legal standpoint, the court didn't really have many tools to be able to be more flexible. And that's exactly why the deportation had continued to be reaffirmed, because the legal framework was such that there were no exceptions in the criminal laws or in the penalties provisions that would give the court the discretion to do something or to award something other than deportation. So that was 2020. Now, in 2021, there were a few laws. I mean, there was actually a lot of new laws that were introduced. And in particular, there were two with regards to illegal controlled substances. There were two specific laws that were introduced that ultimately did not decriminalize these substances. So that's just very important to highlight that any kind of in this podcast in particular, we're talking about cannabis and THC, that any of those type of softer drugs, if you will, still remain very much illegal in the UAE. So it's not that the laws that were introduced starting in 2021 decriminalized that particular substance. No, they just softened the penalty. I guess the current legal framework that governs various illegal substances in the UAE started from 2021, and that's the Federal Decree Law Number 30 of 2021, and the full name is a Decree on Combating Narcotics and Psychotropic Substances. And so I just want to show you kind of the visual of it. And by the way, these laws used to be published in the old days, and this is kind of the only form in which we were able to access laws, and there would in most cases be in Arabic, and then would have to get some sort of translations from different translators into English. These days, they're published all online, and in most cases, in Arabic and English at the same time. So this is just going to give you an idea of how much we've evolved and developed, not just in terms of the legal framework, but also procedurally and administratively in terms of the tools that we have available to us as lawyers to be able to navigate the legal framework. So here is this law, that's the Federal Decree Law Number 30 of 2021. And this, by the way, is the federal law, so the UAE law that applies to all Emirates, all seven Emirates. So the law in and of itself is perhaps, and this is in English, is not so long. It's 36 pages. However, it has a whole other part to it, an annex, which are the schedules. And I just wanted to demonstrate it visually, because as much as I'm trying, as I said early on in this, in my introduction, I'm trying to simplify things for you, there's only so much I can do in terms of simplifying chemical term. So I am not a chemist, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist. And so a lot of this, a lot of these words for me are very difficult to pronounce, let alone to understand what they mean. So there's a lot of mumble jumble here for me. But I just wanted to show how much the, how seriously the UAE takes any kind of issues related to illegal substances. And so to the point where not does it only publish a law regulating and outlining its stance on legal substances, but it also goes through a fairly detailed process of outlining the various types of legal substances and depending on which schedule they're in, the degree of severity and degree of punishment obviously goes back to this schedule. So there's a lot to unpack here. There's a lot to decipher here. I can only scratch a little bit of the tip of the iceberg. But for the purposes of today's discussion, which is cannabis, so it is very clear from this schedule, which I needed help to decipher for the purposes of the cannabis discussion, is that there are certain schedules that that relate to cannabis, and these in particular articles, so Schedule 1, Clause 29, and that sort of tackles cannabis resin extracts and tinctures. And then there's also Schedule 4, Clause A, that specifically mentions cannabis, marijuana, or banjo. Schedule 5, Clause 34, that tackles THC. And Schedule 6, Clause 4, tackles Delta 9 THC and its chemical variants. So that's basically the schedule that makes it very clear that anything to do with cannabis or THC or marijuana is still very much illegal. So the substances that are listed in this schedule are substances that are still deemed to be illegal for the purpose of the UAE and therefore are still deemed to be narcotics or psychotropic substances. So that being said, so that we've established that in terms of the legal framework, we now have a new law in 2021 that that introduced a whole schedule of what is considered in terms of substances, which what is considered controlled substances or illegal substances in the UAE. And that's one. And then two, that cannabis and THC and marijuana still very much, as per the schedule, as per this law, remain to be illegal. However, and that's I want to reiterate, although the legal framework and the UAE's legal stance on controlled substances has changed, but what has changed is not its acceptance of these substances, but rather the punishment. And that's why I wanted to start out with that real-life case example of our client, where to show you the sort of the degree of the punishment, how things used to be, transition into the current legal framework. But to highlight, it's very much illegal, but the punishment is different and softer, that is. But it depends on a number of factors. So it depends, for example, on whether it's first-time use, whether it's residents, non-residents, the amount of drugs or the substances. So the treatment and the penalties, therefore, are very much sort of determined by this sort of set of factors. And those ones again, the personal, whether it's personal use, the first time or second use, the quantities, the residents of non-residents, or whether the drugs were seized at the point of entry or they were consumed within the UAE. So that the last part is an important distinction. So there's a point of if drugs were consumed within the UAE, they're treated differently and more severely than if, for example, the person was caught at the point of entry with drugs and even drugs in his or her blood. So that's basically the new law, which is the first law. And specific articles in this law that are important, and then we'll discuss a little more as we go through the through the process. So those are Article 42 in the law, and that deals with first-time and second-time offenders for personal and for personal use. So the other particular article that is of most interest to us for the purposes of this discussion is this Article 96, and that's perhaps one of the biggest legislative changes, and this article, and this is, again, we're referring to the law from 2021, and this article refers to basically anybody who's traveling into the UAE and with illegal substances and are caught with illegal substances at the point of entry into the country. So this article is quite important for a number of reasons, and I'll delve into it shortly. But it obviously refers to it doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily limited to non-residents, but it basically refers to anybody who comes into the country and are caught either, you know, at the airport or on a ship, on a cruise, or at the border with some illegal substances. And so the important aspect of this particular article is it ultimately decriminalized coming into the UAE with small amounts for personal use of cannabis or THC type drugs. So I'll come back into it shortly. But what I did want to, So let's start with the first version of the article. And so and that's because in 2024 the article is further amended. But for the purposes of, let's say, the 2021 version, is that the law, as I said, it decriminalized the possession of cannabis-based products at UAE entry points, like airports, but only under very specific conditions. And in particular, if the cannabis products are for personal use, and if it is your first offense. So in that case, the authorities would seize the product, file what's called an administrative report, and then allow the person to enter the country for sort of the limited amount of time. And ultimately allow for them to not only use the country, but avoid prosecution. And this, by the way, applied to both residents and non-residents. However, once inside the country, possession or use would obviously be treated very differently. So now let me kind of pause there for a second, because I wanted to explain to you or share another story, another real life example. So this is the law and this the Article 2096 of this particular law, which ultimately decriminalized traveling with small amounts of cannabis or THC-based products at the point of entry. And so how it used to be before, it was that anybody, and we've had cases, I've been in the UAE practicing law here since 2008, so I'm aware of many, many cases where people would fly into the UAE, and their residents or even tourists, and then they had accidentally had something in their luggage, for example, on them. In a pocket or inside of a luggage or even their blood sometimes, if the authorities suspected that they might have consumed any kind of drugs before coming into the UAE. When they come to the UAE, if they were picked up from the crowd and then tested, and if they had any kind of substance like that in their bloodstream, that in itself was an offense. I mean, a crime, and a serious crime, and basically zero tolerance policy, and everybody was treating the same way. There is always jail. There was a financial fine, which is, in relative terms, is quite insignificant, but there's always a jail sentence of at least 1 year, and then ultimate deportation. So in 2021, we had another client. This is after this law was introduced, who a very similar story to so many other cases we had seen before, but treated very differently. So this was an American tourist coming from New York, flying into the UAE, and for the first time came to attend a wedding of a friend, and at the airport was stopped because and asked to open his suitcase, and then out of the suitcase, especially the front pocket of the suitcase, fell out a little split. So he claimed complete ignorance, which, to be honest with you, when we saw him, made sense, because it seemed that because in the U.S. this particular substance is perfectly legal, and he said he had just been in California and had a sort of trip, and it probably was left in that same suitcase on his trip from California to New York. And I think, sort of, to be honest with you, I believe the story, because it was so, like, it was just literally in the front pocket of the suitcase that when he opened it, just kind of fell out. So I think if somebody really was trying to bring something illegally, probably would have taken different measures to hide it. Okay, now anyway, so he, interestingly enough, this is the first time we saw that. So as I said, in the past, this person would have been detained at the airport, taken to jail, and next time he would have seen his home country a year from that point on, and never been allowed to enter the UAE. So what happened this time around, he was stopped. The authorities seized the substance. It was like a little packet, he described. But then he was allowed into the UAE. He was allowed into Dubai, and the authorities basically said, well, welcome to Dubai. You have a week until his return ticket. They said, enjoy Dubai, make the most of it, because you'll never see it again. And that's when he came to us, and we consulted him, and we sort of described to him the change in the law at the time. But it was the first time that we saw it in real life, in practice, how the authorities were treating applying this law and implementing the law and treating people very differently. So once again, it's clear that having that kind of that substance in the UAE is still considered illegal. Bringing it in the UAE is still illegal, so the authorities had seized it. But instead of sending him to jail, they filed what's called an administrative report, and which followed with a deportation. So, and that's why they said, go enjoy Dubai for 1 week, and then after, because that will be the last time that you'll be able to see this country. So make the most of it. And as he was leaving, they gave him his passport back, let him fly back. But as he left, they placed him basically on, you know, like a blacklist for the purposes of the UAE. We have this kind of concept of a blacklist, so which we're meaning that he is not welcome back into the country. Again, huge change in how things would have been treated in the past, signifying sort of like, you know, not so much the UAE's softer stance on substance, these kinds of substances, or I guess what are called psychotropic substances, but rather the punishment, especially for non-residents, for tourists. And let's face it, that makes sense, because the UAE is such a desirable place for so many tourists from all over the world to visit. So it's the law is kind of carving out a little bit of a different treatment for tourists and non-residents, on account, obviously, of ignorance of the law. Especially since cannabis and THC in so many other countries are not only considered legal, but in many cases they're even used for as medicine. So that's how it was before in 2021. Now in 2024, a new law was introduced, and that's Cabinet Resolution number 43 of 2024, targeting non-residents at entry point. And at a relevant level, it elaborates further on this Article 96 from the 2021 law. And so I want to just that law is it's not a super lengthy law, and it also introduces a few schedules But you know, the title of the law is Cabinet Resolution Number 43 of 2024 concerning the treatment of non-resident foreigners arrested at UAE ports with narcotic drugs or psychotropic substances in their possession. So, as per this law, there is a more specific. First of all, there is a resolution. That's the last page. That introduces a substance quantity table listing the specific permissible limits for certain CBD or THC type products, like CBD creams and oils or balms. And so that's a significant development, as it brings a lot more clarity and degree of predictability for tourists entering the UAE when they're legally purchasing items from abroad, such as CBD creams, oils, and CBD balms. And we know that those products are all too often. And by the way, previously there had been stories where people would inadvertently come into the UAE, for example, with a bag made out of hemp or a cream that had some sort of a CBD oil. So before the law changed, I mean, even those instances and in those cases were problematic. So now there is this, the new law, that's the Cabinet Resolution Number 43, clearly, in the way, exempts any kind of consumer products that have the CBD creams, oils, and balms, that are based, in terms of the quantity, that are based on the schedule that clearly sets a specific substance quantity table of what is considered to be permissible. The other thing that this law does, as it introduces specific fines or penalties for different types of offenders. So, for example, first-time offenders face fines, and that's again, this is, by the way, this just to clarify, so this law applies to non-residents who are coming into the UAE. So it does not apply to residents, one, and two, it does not apply to non-residents who are sort of caught consuming these substances while in the UAE. So this is all happening outside of the UAE, and they're arrested at the point of entry. So for first-time offenders, there is a fine between 5,000 dirhams to 20,000 dirhams. And then an entry into the UAE is allowed, but it's conditional on the payment of that fine. So this is an interesting example. If you go back to my previous story that I shared with you about our client, so in that case, the client, so because it's important that this law sets out these administrative penalties, and for the time being, I haven't delved into all of them yet, but they are all monetary in nature. At least for the first-time offenders, so that there's no deportation. So if you go back to the case I shared with you earlier, in that case, the person, the client, would have been allowed to come in, would have had to pay the penalty between 5,000 to 20,000, and pay the penalty, come into the country, and would have been able to leave and come back into the UAE again, so there would not have been a deportation. Now, as per this law, now in that case, in the past, he was ultimately deported. But as per this law, any kind of first-time visitors or first-time offenders or tourists or non-residents that come into the UAE for the first time and caught with, not for the first time, but for the first time caught with these kind of substances, only really have to pay a fine, and then they can go back into the UAE and enjoy, and then keep traveling back as long as they don't bring these drugs with them again. Now, a second violation, however, would result in a 3-year entry ban, as well as a fine between 10,000 dirhams and 30,000 dirhams. So what this means is that, again, if you go back to my earlier case, even if that person, if this was his second time into the UAE and he was caught second time having these substances on him, he would not have been banned permanently as the case was before. He would have only been banned for 3 years, but the fines are greater, starting from 10,000 dirhams to 30,000 dirhams. For third violation, then that the fines are much greater. It would result in a fine of not less than 50,000 dirhams to 100,000 dirhams, which is about $30,000, and then as well as permanent deportation from the state. So that's where things stand right now with regards to this particular, with regards to non-residents in particular, who come into the UAE and end up carrying these kind of substances intentionally or unintentionally. So if it's first time, it's okay, you're forgiven. Second time, you will not be allowed to come back into the country for 3 years. And if it's your third time, then that's it. That's your last time into the country. And so she shows you, if you compare this treatment to the case I shared earlier, where there was a deportation outright for the first time visitor to the UAE with a very small amount of CBD or marijuana. That was, deportation was ordered at the time. And that was deportation for life. Here, there's two other chances you have before then. So there is, that's quite important and significant. Now, and with regards to ultimately, this what we just talked about is non-residents. So there's a provision in the law as well, and that's the first law, which is from 2021, and that's Article 42, that deals with consumption of the same cannabis or THC, but within the UAE. So it's no longer just limited to non-residents. It also applies to residents. So if anybody in the UAE is caught consuming or having these substances in their bloodstream, so the punishment is as follows. For the first-time consumption, the penalty is a minimum of 3 months jail or a fine of between 10,000 dirhams and 100,000 dirhams. So let's just pause there for a second. So this is, so the difference here is obviously resident, non-resident. So this applies to residents, but also non-residents who are consuming within the UAE. So they're not caught coming in at the point of entry, but they actually somehow find access to it while they're in the UAE. So therefore, the punishment is greater. And so that's why it starts out with a minimum of jail punishment, of 3 months. However, there's an or. So it can either be jail or it can be a fine of 10,000 dirhams to 100,000 dirhams, which is not insignificant. It's $30,000 we're talking about. But compared to how things used to be, it's still a much more lenient punishment than before. So for second-time offenders, if it happens within 3 years, so in other words, they get caught once, and then within a year later, they come back again and get caught again, so within the 3 years. And then there's a punishment is minimum 6 months in jail or a fine of 20,000 dirhams to 100,000 dirhams. So the minimum fine is 20,000 dirhams or 6 months in jail. So again, the court here, as per the law, has discretion in deciding whether it wants to jail the person or just collect the fine. But again, in most cases, and this is why this law was introduced, instead of burdening the UAE prison systems, there is punishment of fine. In most cases, the punishment of monetary fine would be exercised or applied instead. Obviously, the reason there is an or there is because it depends on the circumstances. Sometimes maybe there's other aggravating circumstances that would ultimately lead for a judge to make a decision to instead send the person to jail. And then for third-time offenders, if it's the third or more, there is still six months in jail minimum, but the fine now ranges from 50,000 to 200,000 dirhams. So it's a much higher fine. But what's important is that there's still this judicial discretion for the first, second-time offenders that can always be... they have discretion to sentence or to punish them by just applying monetary fine versus a mandatory imprisonment, which was the case before. In the past, it was always mandatory imprisonment. Now there is the jail time has been replaced for monetary fine, which in most cases is what we expect for the courts to do. So that's kind of the and then there's another provision in the law that's just for the purposes of what we of punishment in particular, and that's Article 75 that clearly now sort of sets out or gives the judicial officers the authority not to deport people or offenders, because that's a big one. And that's why I started out with the first story, where in that case, a person who clearly was receiving it's like a small vape with a little bit of CBD oil in it for personal use, and somebody, a long-term resident, and obviously had many reasons to want to stay in the country, and yet there was a mandatory deportation that was attached to the sentence, and there was no way we could lift the deportation. That's because, as I mentioned earlier, the court did not have the judicial tools, the judicial resources to rely on to choose, for example, a fine or a longer jail sentence in lieu of deportation. The deportation was sort of was a mandatory punishment in all such cases. Now, as per this Article 75, it's very clear that deportation is no longer mandatory for non-citizens in particular, so for residents or tourists, if it is for personal use and it's it's a small quantity and first-time offenders. So the court may choose now whether they just want to apply a fine and send to jail or deport. So. Yeah, so you see how far we've come. So that case that I described early on, that case today would have been treated more or less kind of a slap on the wrist. There would have been a fine paid and perhaps more like a 10,000 dirham fine, and that would have been it. There would not have even been a criminal case opened. So things have changed quite a bit, and we have seen this, by the way, before since then. And I'll share a few examples shortly, but just one last comment, and that's basically based on kind of A, the law, and B, so many requests that we've received recently, and that is, what about medical cannabis? Is that sort of allowed? Because recently we had a client who reached out and asked, they wanted to move to the UAE with the family, and one of the children basically had this sort of epilepsy type condition, which was eased or with some kind of like a cannabis derived medicine, and that really helped the person, this child, to control and manage their epilepsy. And so they were asking, you know, could they move here and have this sort of prescription? So as things stand right now, this is medical cannabis is still illegal. And even if you have a legal prescription from, let's say, U.S., Canada, or Europe, medical cannabis is not yet allowed, at least not so specifically by virtue of the laws that I've described today. So this obviously would include prescribed oils, inhalers, edibles, and any kind of cannabis-based creams that, you know, in other countries would be prescribed by doctors. And so even a tiny, in those kinds of cases, even tiny amounts can trigger legal action. So so just for all of those who are considering to move into the, or to come to the UAE, to visit the UAE, and you're relying on your prescriptions from your home countries, just, you know, lesson to note is that leave your medication at home, because the law does not yet differentiate or does not give an exception to those who may have these kinds of prescriptions that are legally issued from home. So just to show you, so we've kind of gone through the legal evolution of the law. Now, there have been many cases that we have seen and read about, and we've seen in our practice, read about in the news. But obviously now we'll see a lot, or I hear a lot fewer of them, because it's not as big of a deal as it was before. In the past, you know, people would have had to hire lawyers for these cases. Now it's just a lot of the time these matters can be resolved just at the airport by paying a fine and that's it. So you don't need to get the legal system involved, and therefore you don't need necessarily lawyers. So recently, for example, there was and I think this is quite demonstrative, that there was a news article that was shared in the local news about a Syrian tourist who was stopped at the Dubai International Airport with cannabis-laced vape products, you know, going back to my first story, and he was charged with possession and consumption. So, and the court in that case applied this Article 96 that we mentioned before that applies to tourists and non-residents, and found that it was his first offense and ruled that the evidence did not support a conviction beyond reasonable doubt. And ultimately, he was acquitted of possession, and the consumption charge, however, was sent to the misdemeanor court, and ultimately just he had to pay a fine, and that was the end of it. So this is an article that is being, or a case that's being profiled in the local media, which shows you what, kind of wraps up this whole topic, which is, yes, it is still illegal. People that come into the country with these kinds of substances, in most cases, the authorities here are quite well developed in that regard. These substances will be detected at the airport at the point of entry, and in most cases they are detected. So they will be detected, and if and the case, depending on the amount and the circumstances and what the substance involved, that they may be referred to the court. There may be just an administrative penalty, but in this case, the case was not only transferred to court, but ultimately it was just referred to misdemeanor court, and there was a penalty of a monetary administrative fine, and that was it. So it just illustrates how the new framework is already shifting how cannabis-related offenses are handled in practice. We had another case of a client that was arrested, actually a resident in the UAE, and there was a group of them that were, you know, kind of toying around, playing with these kinds of splits, or, you know, I'm not sure exactly the exact form that they were using, but there was a group of friends they were using. They were being caught while they had I guess THC in their blood, and so they were arrested. And so in this, there are different nationalities, but like this Pakistan, Bangladeshi nationalities, just to show you that. So in the past, again, there will be very little discussion, and these people would be deported. And to be honest with you, I was myself not sure how, because there was a group of these friends, and it was, the consumption was within the UAE, and so I kind of expected that when they were detained and they were jailed for just a few weeks, but then when they were released, they had to pay a fine, and they were allowed to stay in the country and continue, because that was their first time offense. So, I mean, that's a huge departure from where we were. Now, as I've said before, for the second time offense, the fine will be higher, and the penalties can be much more severe. But the third time offense, I mean, that's In most cases, people need to be prepared that if they continue to consume cannabis and THC within the UAE, that it's just, it's only a matter of time before this may ultimately lead to deportation if they continue to do it and continue to get caught. So another interesting case, real life case we had, it was a Swiss national who also reached out to us. And I've, by the way, I've changed sort of the nationalities and even the gender of some of the cases that I'm sharing with you. It's the interest of privacy. But so there's a Swiss national who flew into, again, so in this case, sort of Abu Dhabi airport, and who was caught. And he was actually a resident, but he was one of these sort of digital nomads. So he had a residency in the UAE, but only for purposes of being able to kind of to travel through and I think for some kind of business purposes, but not really based in the UAE. And so he came into the UAE and Abu Dhabi airport in particular. And the thing is, the authorities here still treat some of these offenses slightly differently depending on the emirate, because there's some more conservative emirates. And so Abu Dhabi, as compared to Dubai, is perhaps a little more conservative. So he flies into Abu Dhabi with a whole cocktail of stuff on him. I mean, it's just, yeah, and we're not talking about cannabis and CBD oil only or THC. There was, I think, cocaine even on him. And I was just, and thing is, He was arrested. He was stopped at the detained at the airport. They seized all his goods, and then he was allowed to leave the airport. Again, a huge departure from how things used to be. And then he was able to consult with the lawyers. In particular, in this case, he consulted with me. So it just gives you an example. Again, so shows you how much the legal system has developed. And I was just scratching my head a little bit. I guess maybe I've been in the UAE for too long, knowing that, I mean, no normal sane person should be coming into the UAE with any kind of drugs. It's just, you know, even with the recent reforms in the legal system, it's still a conservative country. We're still in the Middle East, and the laws are still, you know, just not recently, they're very different. And so it surprises me, if not shocks me, that some people still think that that means the UAE has become liberalized drugs. And this is also one of the reasons I'm doing this podcast, and I want to highlight kind of the, you know, real life cases from my own practice, you know, from other cases that are profiled in the news, to show that yes, the UAE legal system has evolved and it's evolving, but it is still very much illegal. The drugs are still considered illegal. It's just only the punishment that differs depending on the type of substance involved and whether it's your first, second offense, whether you're resident, non-resident, and obviously the amount of substance that you have on you. So, but it's still very much illegal. So anybody who thinks, the UAE, I've heard, you know, the so-and-so flew into the UAE, he had some split on him, and he was allowed to go and enjoy Dubai, and he came back again, and he can travel freely. Yes, but that's not to say the UAE has now liberalized drugs. That is absolutely not the case. So therefore, please be very, very careful, and don't play with fire, so to speak. So like this gentleman, this client who came in with a whole cocktail of stuff on him, and I was... When I was going through the list with him, I was like, okay, so what is it that you had? I mean, again, as I said earlier, and I sincerely mean it, I'm not very well versed in the chemical compounds and all these schedules that I've shared with you. And this client was much better versed, because there's a whole list of compounds that he was rattling out. And it was kind of, on the one hand, fascinating, you know, how much the UAE has evolved, in the sense that I was able to talk to him. He was in his hotel room. He wasn't in jail, and he was allowed to be around. He basically, when he was flying out of the UAE, he was deported for, you know, he was allowed to enjoy the UAE, so to speak. He had to pay a fine, and ultimately was deported. I mean, not deported, but basically was allowed to leave the country, but with no point, no right to return. But that's because he had a whole cocktail of baggage and on him, and although we're talking in this podcast only about cannabis, THC, he had a lot harder drugs. So I don't know what people think about it, especially, and this is important because he was a digital nomad, and I know there's a lot of digital nomads out there, and I know that the UAE is a very attractive place for a lot of these kinds of professionals. And but please be mindful that this is this leniency in the UAE's in the UAE's judicial and legal system in terms of how it punishes these kinds of offenses should not be misinterpreted. It's purely just leniency in the form of punishment, not in what the country believes is legal or is not legal. So make no mistake, you know, cannabis is still very much illegal here. And if, so if you are entering the UAE, do not bring any cannabis-based products, no matter how innocent or well-labeled they may seem. It's just not worth the risk. So for tourists, you know, do not travel with cannabis products, even if it's legal at home. And for residents, be aware that possession or use can still result in fines, jail time, and visa cancellation. With regards to CBD products, only those below the permitted thresholds and with accurate labeling might pass, but there is no guarantee, so be very careful. And seek legal counsel if you are charged with these kinds of offenses, and make sure that you follow the law, you stay informed, you stay legal. So that's it for this episode of Logical with Ludmila. If you find this useful and you like what we do, you can always find more on our website, which is lylawyers.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And for the full experience, you can watch our video podcast on YouTube. Until next time, stay informed, stay safe, and keep things logical.